I am Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
And I'm also Sleep at the Switch.
As usual.
Anyway, joining us, we have Jim Geoffrey. Almost went the wrong way. Stephanie Dudley and Julia Badger from NASA.
NASA
good.
Oh, boy. And we got a subject today.
And yeah, they're apparently planning a housing development on the moon.
That's our new studio.
You know, the swimming pool is going to be a little rough. I want to see how they do that.
For those of you who haven't figured it out, we're talking about NASA's moon base project. This is extraordinary to think about because you got to bring everything with you. There's nothing
Absolutely
up there.
Absolutely everything.
I mean, there's no not
Wally
even
World.
Cheese
you can't
up
run out.
There.
Can't go to Home Depot. I forgot some screws.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be sure to save a guest house for you, too.
Sounds
Appreciate
good.
Appreciate that.
So there's a lot of people who'd like to see us on the moon.
Preferably without a spacesuit.
Now, I was over in the pavilion the other day, and it looks like you're going to be using some of those inflatable habitats, or whatever you want to call them. What's the technical term?
Yeah, inflatable or expandable structures. That's one of the key technologies we're looking at because one of the biggest challenges is getting mass and volume to the surface of the moon. And those kind of structures where you can build it up once it's there, it gives the astronauts a lot more room to do their jobs.
Right, so you're going to build it like the space station on the ground, a module at a time.
Yeah, basically.
And you're going to call up Elon and say, come on, I'm ready for that next thing. Give me that shed.
Yeah. Yep. Next
wow.
delivery.
I just read an audiobook called Artemis, but anyway, they said something in there that I never thought about. In the book, they postulate that half of the structure is underground. Are you guys looking at anything like that to give it some natural shielding and protection?
Some of the things that we're looking at is what type of construction and site preparation we'll have to do on the lunar surface to be able to do that. The regolith does have some properties, like it will be a thermal an insulator, or mm-hmm. it could also block from radiation.
And so micrometeoroids and things like
exactly,
that.
Yeah.
And noisy neighbors.
That's totally it.
I was going to say, and along with that, you're also working on developing a space-rated backhoe so you can dig this thing out.
True story.
You have to design all the tools, too. That's a whole other can of worms.
Yes, it is.
So
it
you
is.
Can't call up John Deere and say, I need a skid steer that'll work in 1/6G?
Wait, we don't have to call them up necessarily, though, but we are absolutely looking at what they're doing and thinking about how is it that we take that Earth technology that works so well and apply it to 1/6 gravity and the lunar regolith.
And the crazy temperature swings.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's probably a big deal, especially with hydraulics.
Well, you know, and the other thing you got to think about is the fact that all of the consumables, you've got to bring them with you. There is no oxygen on the moon. How do you handle such basic things as water and oxygen?
Hose.
Long hose. And an air tank.
Garden hose. Don't drink out of it.
So we're going to go to the lunar south pole of the moon that we expect to have frozen water.
Okay.
And then we potentially could use the resources like the water, other materials, the regolith, to build things. So H2O,
are you
right,
guys
oxygen.
You're going to look at 3D printing structures?
We are.
Nice.
Yes.
Out of lunar concrete.
Yes, so taking some of the dirt, the lunar regolith, mm-hmm. and mixing it with a plasticizer to 3D
Scientists
print.
Make everything sound so technical. Plasticizer, regolith.
They make okay. it sound
They're
so
gonna
easy,
They're going to make like
too.
An Adobe, okay, and print it. The first structures are just going to be what? I mean, they're not going to be super sophisticated, right?
Yeah, early on it's focused on just getting Americans back to the moon so they can stay there for a week or two or maybe a month at a time. While we figure out where's the right place to put the big habitat and build up structure, be able to do science while we're there, but gradually build out. So yeah, early habitats just focus on keeping the crew alive for short periods as we can build out that infrastructure.
Okay, so then you got to import everything. Power. If you're going to the south pole of the moon, there's not a whole lot of sunlight to work with, is there?
Yeah, power, you nailed it. Power is key. You can't do anything without it. And the South Pole's really an interesting place. The sun never goes much above or below the horizon, so there's periods where it is just at the horizon or other times where it doesn't shine for a long time. And so We're looking at different technologies like solar arrays, batteries, also nuclear systems.
Have you looked at wind power?
Yeah, that might not work so well.
Yeah, darn.
Well, you know, there are other considerations that you got to think of with this building, too. For one thing, and it's just occurred to me, what about if you have your structure up and it's a very light structure? What happens if an asteroid hits nearby? That's a very real possibility.
Don't look up. They taught you that in the movie.
you know, that's a great point. I'm sure your audience followed the recent Artemis II mission, where we sent four of our best and brightest around the moon. In those couple hours where they were close by the moon, they actually observed six separate micrometeoroid impacts on the lunar surface.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was a totally unexpected finding, but it was also a little scary because it just shows that the moon is constantly being bombarded by space debris. And so when we design those habitat structures, we got to build in shielding so that they're not vulnerable to that.
Well, that's part of the under the ground thing, I guess, but digging the hole's the hard part.
Yep, it is.
And your inflatable buildings, while they're going to be strong, they would never survive a micrometeorite hit.
Well, actually, they have some really interesting construction techniques where they built up of layers. Like Kevlar, for example, can be like a bulletproof vest for the habitat, and it breaks up those high-speed particles before they can penetrate the pressure shell.
And we've tested that technology on the International Space Station.
Oh, nice. And you've actually had micrometeoroid hits, and it's worked.
We have an inflatable module on the space station today.
Okay.
Yes, that is instrumented for that very purpose.
But we're moving out of the space station. Apparently the neighborhood has just gone down the tubes.
but that technology let us feel comfortable with it, using it in
right,
future
habitats. Safe, yes.
I was going to say, you let the micrometeorites do the work. Nobody was up there firing a gun at this thing just to test it out.
Yeah, but when you think about it, a gun is a joke compared to the kinetic energy of a micrometeoroid.
True.
So I want to know, you know, we've all heard about designing bathrooms for zero-G. Has anybody working on 0.6-G or... Actually, 1.6G.
Yeah, 1.6. Yeah, very, very good. Absolutely. So that actually helps us. The 0G problem is probably the most difficult one to solve. But it turns out that the moon's gravity is right in between, where it's not exactly...
So everything still flows downhill.
Yeah, a little bit, but not as well as you'd
not
like.
Not as fast.
Yeah.
You know, I keep thinking of two media presentations regarding problems on an outer world. For All Mankind, the series, because they did have a moon base there, and also, and you're going to hate this, but The Martian. Because
oh, of course.
Both of them had to deal with survival in a very harsh atmosphere. Have you guys taken any inspiration from those two?
You know, it turns out that it goes both ways. Hollywood is they're the big dreamers, but we also influence what they put on the screen. And so I think it's gone both ways, where we've seen some really creative ideas there.
Now, nuclear power in space so far has just been RTGs. You guys are actually talking about a full-blown reactor, right?
Yeah, this is a full-blown reactor, something maybe 25 kilowatts that could power a habitat and other systems. So yeah, ever since the 1960s, we've been getting really close to having something in space, but I think only one or two have ever actually made it there. So
okay.
Like I talked, the South Pole's a really harsh environment, and nuclear might be a great solution to that.
Yeah. And rest assured, as soon as they do it, you know, Harbor Freight will have one, you know,
yeah,
cheap. 25 kilowatts doesn't sound like much. So I guess you're going to have to be very frugal with your electricity.
Yeah, yeah. Not too much Netflix binging
yeah,
and other things.
Right.
But,
yeah, no Netflix, all right?
You know, I'm going to wait for the day when we get back onto the moon and, like in The Martian, somebody up there sends a picture back doing the Fonz. Hey.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for the
Trust
McDonald's.
Trust me, somebody's going to do that.
Oh, yeah. And the golf course is going to be open, right? I mean, we've already played golf
well,
on
yeah,
the moon.
Al Shepard already
that's
hit,
right.
So what,
we,
a two
yeah,
iron.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was
instead
up there.
Of mini golf, it'll be, wait for it, moony golf.
Ooh.
Oh.
That was bad.
It was bad.
Even for you.
Well, I'm sinking low.
Yes. It sounds interesting. You're going to make concrete up on the moon? That's going to be a lot of heavy material that you're going to have to bring up.
I mean, remember, they're using the moon dirt as the major filler.
Right, but you still have to have the concrete mix, and that's the magic.
So there's different technologies that actually are called, one is called sintering, that all you have to do is provide a lot of electricity, and you can change the regolith. So we need that nuclear reactor, right, to be able to...
25 kilowatts isn't enough.
Well, they're actually working very hard on trying to figure that out. Now, if you do very thin layers, you can do it with that order of magnitude of power. So.
Okay, it just takes a while.
You just can't build it as one big slab. You've got to layer it.
You have to layer it.
That would work.
What is the projected time to try and get one up there? Do we have a date yet? Do we have a year?
So we're actually building the moon base now with early science demonstrations and trying to learn about the moon. We want to get people back on the surface of the moon in 2028. It's actually been this year, 57 years since Neil and Buzz.
Wow.
And so
and that postcard still hasn't arrived.
I was going to say, are you going to have a space-rated soda machine up there?
Of course. Of course. All right. I want to thank you guys for joining us. We've been speaking with Jim Geoffrey, Stephanie Dudley, Julia Badger from NASA about a moon base.
Moon base, yep. That's our next studio.
Don't worry, they won't have cable.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
all right.
You.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.